Okay, you finally caught up. Our choir director, Leah, is practicing with the singers.
Hi, Lieutenant Ruthie. Glad to see you here. Are you enjoying our music?
Yes, I'm enjoying it very much. How's practice going?
Well, it's going great. We're learning a new song called All the Way My Savior Leads Me.
That's a wonderful song to be learning. Do you know who wrote that song?
I think I know. Is it by Fanny Crosby?
Hey, 5 points for you for answering that question correctly. Yes, it was Fanny Crosby. Do you know her story?
I've heard parts of it before, but I'm not sure I know it very well.
Well, would you like to hear her story?
Yes, I'd love to hear it, and it would be a good break for the choir.
Okay, well, everyone take a seat, because it's time to hear the story of one of the prince's most creative hymn writers. Fanny Crosby was born on March 24, 1820, in Brewster, New York. Just a few weeks after she was born, she became very sick. Unfortunately, after her illness, she became blind. Now, they don't know what exactly caused her blindness, if it was because she was sick, or maybe because of what they did to try to help her become better, or if it was genetic. They're not entirely sure, but what they did know was that she became blind. The doctors tried to save it, but they couldn't do anything to help her. Not long after she lost her sight, her father passed away. So now she was not only blind, but she was also fatherless, and her mother had to go work as a maid to be able to provide for her family. Because her mother was gone so much, Fanny spent a lot of time with her grandmother, who was a Christian. And her grandmother helped instill a love for poetry and a love for Christ in her heart. Fanny loved to write poetry from a very young age. In fact, at age 8 she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind? I cannot and I won't."
How did she write down her poems if she couldn't see?
Well, she would keep them in her mind until she was with someone else who could write them down. She would work on as many as 12 poems at once before she told them to someone to write down. In fact, it's estimated that she wrote more than 8,000 hymns in her lifetime, all in her mind.
That is a lot of poems to have memorized.
I know, right? But she was given a special gift from God, and she used it for His glory. Often, composers would come to her with a tune and ask her to write the lyrics for it. It was as if the music spoke to her, and as she listened, the words would come to mind, and she would be able to fit the words to the music, even songs that no one thought it would be possible to write poetry for. Fanny had always dreamed of being able to go to school, but there weren't many opportunities for her until she was almost 15 years old. But Fanny hadn't been idle in her learning up until that point. She had worked hard to learn as much as she could without formal training, and she didn't let her lack of sight stop her from doing the best she could in everything she did.
Did she ever wish that she could see?
You know, I'm sure when she was a child, there were moments she wished she could see. But as she got older, she was able to see the blessings in her blindness. In her song, "Someday the Silver Cord Will Break," she wrote, "I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace." She couldn't wait to see her Savior. In fact, one day, a well-meaning minister came up and told her that he thought it was a great pity that the master didn't give her sight when he had given her so many other gifts. She quickly responded that if at birth she had been able to make one petition, it would have been that she was born blind. Because when she got to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden her sight will be that of her Savior.
Hmm. That's a really great perspective. We should be thankful for everything, even if it isn't exactly like we want it.
That's right. And Fanny found many things to be thankful for in her life. In fact, one of her most beloved hymns was a song of praise. You've heard the song, praise him, right? That song is full of praise. Maybe the choir can sing that song sometime.
For sure.
After Fanny finished her school, she continued to write and teach. But as she was faced with illness and trials, something in her made her realize she was missing something. Even though Fanny had grown up knowing about Jesus, she had never really understood the love of God and his love for her. She wondered if God really loved her and if she could truly someday see his face. One day, while she was at a meeting, as they were singing Isaac Watts' famous song, "Alas and Did My Savior Bleed," the words, "Here, Lord, I give myself to thee, 'tis all that I can do," kept repeating in her mind. She realized then the assurance she was looking for in God's love. And from then on, she lived her life in complete submission to God and worked tirelessly to share his love with everyone she met.
Did Fanny Crosby ever get married?
Yes, she married one of her friends from the New York School of the Blind. His name was Alexander Van Alstyne Jr., and he was one of the best organists in New York. He helped arrange music for many of Fanny's poems because Fanny didn't actually write the music for most of her songs. She had other people write them, and he wrote the music for some of her songs. They made a great team together.
Did she ever have any children?
Yes, they did have one child, a daughter. But unfortunately, she died soon after birth. This was one part of Fanny's life that she never really talked about. And that's understandable. But many people think that her song, "Safe in the Arms of Jesus," was written with her baby in mind. And that song has brought comfort to many families who have lost loved ones. One of Fanny's other well-known songs was based on her experience working with the outcasts and less fortunate members of society. See, Fanny made it her life mission to help everyone get to know the Savior who she loved so much. She helped those who lived near her in every way she could and became a much-loved neighbor in every community where she lived. She also attended and helped with revival meetings, city missions, and other community events that were centered around her best friend, Jesus. She was also a strong believer in temperance and was a member of the temperance movement, just like Joseph Bates. One day, while Fanny was at a meeting in the New York City mission, she was impressed to earnestly plead that if anyone had wandered from his mother's home and teaching, to please come and to see her at the end of the service. When the service was done, a young man came up to Fanny, and as tears flowed from his eyes, he told of the loving mother who wanted to see him in heaven someday. But he knew that with the life he was living, he would never be in heaven. Fanny and those around her prayed with him. And as they prayed, he gave his heart to Jesus and accepted God's forgiving grace. When Fanny went home that night, she was inspired to write "Rescue the Perishing." Have you heard that song? Let me share some of the words with you. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. Waiting the penitent or repentant child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Fanny Crosby passed away at age 94, which, by the way, was a long time to live back then. But before her death, she was assured that she would see her sweet Savior someday. She wrote of this assurance in the poem, "I Know the Sweet Voice of the Shepherd," when she said, "One day I shall walk through the valley, the shadow of death in my way. And even as this life is ending, let These be the words that I say. I know the sweet voice of the shepherd. His goodness will lead me above to tell of his mercy forever, to sing of his infinite love. I want to sing of his infinite love forever, don't you? Well, I think we better let you get back to practicing. And we have a meal to get to, so will you be able to join us for more stories in the Great Hall later?
That was a great story, Lieutenant Ruthie. Well, my choir needs to get back to practicing, but they enjoyed the story and will try to drop into the Great Hall later.
That sounds great. So I'll see you then. Well, until then, Godspeed.